In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and Sam Robertson as we do a deep dive into have you idolized your prophetic words? You'll not want to miss this one. Well, hello, loyal listeners, and a big, warm Glasgow welcome to the podcast, What the Prophets Say, with me, Emma Stark, and the joy that is Sam Robertson, who is sitting with me once again here in, I was going to say sunny.
It's not. It's terrible.
But I've just read on the weather forecast that England, south of the border, is in a heat wave.
And we've just had thunderstorms and rain.
Although I did just read some, honestly, hilarious individual on social media try to say Scotland is not a country. Can we just for clarity say Scotland very much is a country?
Yes, it is.
That has a border with England. Our sister country, and we coalesce together as the United Kingdom, which includes Wales and Northern Ireland at some days, but not the south of Ireland. No. For those who don't know their geography, the island of Ireland, my homeland, is divided into two nations. Two nations on the island of
Ireland.
Yes, very interesting. Anyway, so we are here in Glasgow sending you love and greetings, though the sun is not out. Sam, you were fascinating me earlier with your scrolling on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You must have got to the end of Instagram. Must have said to you, this is the last reel.
Yes. the last reel was remarkable, though. I was watching a whole thing about a horse seeing a zebra for the first ever time. And the horse looked astounded. I didn't know that they could, like, a horse could drop its jaw and open its eyes wide, but it was literally in shock because a horse saw a zebra. They were introduced for the first time.
I assume that was very late at night.
It was actually the middle of the day.
No, you got to the end of Instagram by the middle of the day.
I did think that must be very confusing for a horse. Seeing a zebra for the first time.
Yes. Yeah.
It really took...
Do they not interbreed? Do you not get something funny?
Yeah. That's not what I Googled or anything like that. I just watched the reel and thought how interesting and moved on. I didn't think... That wasn't my next thought.
My question is a horse colorblind? Do they see it in black and white or is there...
No, they can see... But my question is a zebra white with black stripes or black with white stripes? Okay. Please tell us.
I'm glad that you joined us for this episode.
This final one for our recording day today.
It's later on in the day today and we've done a few. So in our last episode, we were pushing into some truths about the need for par encounters and for you to be the generator of par encounters. And I was a little bit exercised. So, and we said some controversial things in there, but you know, that's the joy of what we get to do as we push some thoughts back and forth together and we look at what the Bible actually says. Sam, I'm glad to say that today it's your turn to lead the line of thought and I will merrily follow on behind.
Yeah.
So go for it, my friend.
Do you know, we prophesy a lot and we get to travel. It's a great honor. And we get to give lots of prophecy, receive lots of prophecy.
Yep.
We hear lots of prophetic words. And often when you move into or you travel or visit a nation, mm-hmm. people are quick to tell you the prophetic words that are over that nation.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
Now,
yes.
Unfortunately, I've found that most of the strong prophetic words that are over a nation tend to be 30 plus years old.
Truth.
They're very seldom tends to be a modern, up-to-date word of the Lord that is securing the destiny of that nation.
And can I tell you what they nearly all say? Because there's, like, every nation has the same word. And it goes like this. I see wildfires. They always seem to start in the north for some reason. It may well be the case. And that there's this spread of wildfires from the north to the south of the nation. Yeah. And I hear that in every single nation that I go to. Never fulfilled.
And every nation has a prophetic word that's going to start with them. It's going to start with us. Yep. The move of God is going to start here.
My state, my nation, we'll be first. And the other thing that I hear a lot of, God says this is the hardest grind.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to start with us and we're in the hardest place.
Absolutely.
And we're going to have this special pot of wildfire that's going to flow down, and other people will one day get our wildfire.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like they've idolized the word. It's like become legend.
It is. It's an idolatry of a prophetic word.
Woohoo!
Which I actually think paralyzes people in a moment in history and actually stops a nation and the people in that nation from keeping a pace with what God wants to do now. And we forget that most prophetic words are conditional. And if the conditions aren't met in a time, then the prophetic word is often revoked or changed or updated because there is a condition to it. And instead of harping back to maybe a word 30 years ago, our response should always be, God, what are you saying right now? Because the conditions and the conditions of the people and the culture may be very, very different. But I think with those prophetic words, there's a sense of a strange pride, even in a, it starts with us, that I think unhelpfully isolates a nation from being sharpened from other nations. And I want to push people in to fresh words over the nation and out of stale words that keep you captive in a moment in history.
It sounds like we're disparaging or discrediting some of those words. And you... and the answer to that is, yes, you are right. We are disparaging or discrediting those words. And I'll tell you why very specifically. Because you and I have stood on enough platforms. And here's what I always said to God behind the scenes when I'm journaling with him and figuring out, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? What do you want to say? There is a massive pressure on the shoulders of the prophet to bring something spectacular rather than something truthful.
Yes.
And in all of that, there is a God. Can I tell them that they're the ones? They're the apple of your eye. They're the breakthrough place. You know, they're
the
movement. They'll be the first. And actually, interestingly, and perhaps oddly, the pressure to produce that everywhere you go is massive. That the people in front of you, I don't know whether they would be as blatant as to say we want our ego massaged, but I think that very genuinely we all want to feel significant.
Absolutely.
And in all of that, you're slightly playing this game between they clearly are there. Everybody's sort of the apple of God's eye and everybody has significance. But the pressure to produce a word that is documented on your or your group or your region or your nation's significance as higher than another nation is a very odd form of a weird Christian patriotism over your region, or a Christian nationalism, or a pride, a hubris issue, or an ego issue, where in the need to feel significant, you pull the wrong thing from a leader, or the leader prophet in most cases produces something that is off. And it simply, I mean, it could be that everywhere starts first, but that means they all start at the same time, which then isn't starting first. You know, it could be that revival is going to spring up everywhere at the same time. That may well be the purpose of God. But my instinct is probably that is not the case. So most of those words can't be right, because it's not, everybody can't go first.
Literally, everybody can't go first. And when was the last time you heard a prophetic word over a nation that said, actually, you're not going to go first?
You're in exile.
You're in exile. And actually, you're going to be the last for this to touch. Or you're going to have to wait longer than some other nations right now.
Yes, or you're in a contention zone. Or
absolutely.
All of that stuff. And so you can understand how we get to these kind of words, which you then say rightly become
an idol.
An idol, where, you know, God, and therefore you kind of get into this prescriptive sense of it must happen like this. So therefore, actually, you're looking for the wrong thing.
Yeah, and then the words get pushed, these certain words get pushed into this kind of holy grail, untouchable place where it's like, dare not touch, or dare not question, or dare not weigh that word and see, God, are you still saying that? Or has that word actually served its purpose? It did what you asked for it to do in the hearts of the people. And now you're saying something different. Now you have something fresh to say. Now you have a new prophetic word that you want to come forth into. And this kind of inheriting of these words. words over generations. In some ways, my hope is that they provoke a desire to contend and pray for your nation, your place, your people. But we also don't want to harp back when God is saying, but I have something fresh I want to say to you now. And I have a revelation that is now, that is hot off the press in heaven over your nation. And I'm looking for those who will hear it and then run with it according to what I'm doing in the present moment and according to what I want to do in the future.
And so as a prophet, Simon, you can answer this and I'll do my best here as well. I have sat usually in hotel rooms around the world, and you and I curate quite a strict working environment in that space. No radio, no TV, no, you're trying to just be so deep in the word of God with the Spirit of God to bring the best word that you can. And I've actually had God say to me, when I've written something down in how God is going to, because God's going to use, you know, people as he finds them. He's kind and he's gracious always. And you're looking for the kindness of God in any situation. But I've had to go back with kind of like a black marker and X, cross out some things in my notes where there were superlatives that actually were ego. And I'm saying to the people, I wanted the people to, you know, you rightly want them to come into expectation. But I'm saying, you know, you will lead, and God said, no, they won't. They will be part of. And that I'm doing something which they get to be part of. Is that not enough? You don't have to lead it, or you will be the arrowhead of a movement. No, you're just going to be part of the general flow of the river of life that I'm bringing into this land. And of course, it doesn't feel as endorsing, even though it's marvelous. And the sense of saying only what God says, rather, and it's such an easy line to cross, where I'm saying, God, can I bless him? And I remember sitting in a church earlier this year. Wonder if I can source the notes here. And in fact, I'll go to them. It's just come into my head. Give me a minute as I flick back to one of the traveling places. And I remember thinking, to myself, I think, God, you've got some great things for them, which he did. In fact, sorry if you hear the sound of flicking pages. This is keeping it real, keeping it real. And there was a breaker anointing that God wanted released to break through. That was absolutely true. And rather than you will break through and you will be this, that, and the other, the Lord did say, but you have not dealt with the major demon of intimidation. And I remember in my hotel room thinking, oh, flip, it's the last session with them. I've been here, I think I preached 9 sessions.
I want
that,
a rah-rah award, yeah.
You know, we want to end well.
Yeah, and
although I actually feel like there was you've preached so many times, you've actually gained the credibility to say, you didn't deal with this. For them, it happened to be intimidation against them. And then after that, I remember thinking, right, okay, so we've got this little bit of a course correction here, that can I then talk about something else? There is some bits and pieces in here about who God was going to put into place and what they had to do. But most of it then became, and you're tolerating Jezebel. And I'm like, oh, you're kidding. And can I tell you what the leader did afterwards? Bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. He actually sent the other, I think, 8 or 9 sessions out and refused to send this session out because it made them look like they hadn't dealt with things, rather than what was in the word, which was an instruction of actually how they would get breakthrough.
Wow.
And that's a wrestle behind the scenes where we just want the word, as you say, that we can idolize. Bring a deification in the wrong sense to the word and put the word in the wrong place in our hearts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was ministering in another place where there was quite a historically well-known prophetic word over it. And I find myself writing in my notes and almost referring to the word. And the Lord spoke so clearly to me. And he said, I am not bound to that prophetic word anymore.
Woo-hoo.
And he said these words, it was right then, but not right now. And he actually gave me a word. It wasn't the opposite, but it was bringing something that was a completely different stance on it. And what God said mm-hmm. isn't always what God is saying now. And mm-hmm. he speaks different things to different generations by the prophets
yeah.
who come and have an instruction for now. And the whole point is, if you follow the instruction of God through mm-hmm. the prophets today, then surely what the prophets say mm-hmm. to you tomorrow should be different. And mm-hmm. if one prophetic word is still unfulfilled, mm-hmm. my question would be, why are we still in disobedience that it's not being fulfilled? Mm-hmm. And actually, God, what are you doing just now to make it right? And I do think the need for us to come back to not mm-hmm. looking for the spectacular
yes.
in the prophetic word, but looking for the significant. And significant
yeah.
doesn't always seem spectacular. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the prophetic word might be, you actually just need to keep doing what you're doing right now.
Keep
and God
going.
Is saying, I'm asking for faithfulness this year, and I'm asking you to keep gathering. Keep, and yeah. it's not that it's going to explode and you're going to change the world and it's going to yeah. start with you.
Yeah.
But it is that. And then other times you do have that it's going to start with you words, and it's just keeping pace with the Spirit of God, who is wanting to say something fresh and not being so bound to the to old words or stale words as we have been.
I think both in personal ministry and in national level words, if you come away from that as a congregation or as an individual and your sense is God wants us to be great, we're going to be great, God has chosen us, you
we're first,
guarantee yeah. that was an inaccurate word.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because that's not what you source in scripture. You're going to be useful, absolutely. You're going to be used, absolutely. And I think it's right that you come away feeling the love of God through the word, but feeling like I'm going to be great is something more off to the side that I don't think is in the heart of God. So how can we make our economy great by prophesying, which is actually what I'm seeing at the moment from certain. We're going to pray so that we're going to prophesy so that our economy is great. I'm watching that particularly, which is about ego and being first, which is not about Christ being preeminent at all, but it's a feel good type sense rather than I feel loved. And there is within the word some sense of how can I get more holy? Mm-hmm. I mean, prophecy should always be how can I become more in the image of Christ?
Yeah.
It's the putting of a boundary in place to be image bearers. I think we forget that prophecy is more about boundaries and understanding where the boundary lines are than it is about forth-telling. That's very clear in scripture. Mm-hmm. Most of scripture prophecy is not forth-telling. That's leave that to Rasputin and Nostradamus, seriously. Most of biblical prophecy, with notable exceptions about the coming of Christ, most of biblical prophecy is about the putting in the boundaries of holiness.
Yeah.
It is not about the greatness of man, not ever once. And it is about redemption. It is always about redemption,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Always about redemption. But often in the journey to redemption, it's the boundaries and the course corrections. So I'm very disturbed by prophecies that are leading us into our own greatness or our own economic greatness. That must be questioned massively these Absolutely. Days.
Yeah, for sure. And it's the Joel, you know, let the weak say, I am strong. The mm-hmm. song
let
of
the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done.
Absolutely. Yes. Uh-huh. You know, and our misunderstanding of how God works and what God asks of his people. And we've got to be careful because, look, we would all be lying if we said mm-hmm. we all didn't want a prophetic word over our church that said everything was going to explode and the power of God was yes. going to break out and revival was going to come from your church to the
yes.
city. You know, we all kind of want that.
Yes.
And what's the right, there's a right part of that that says, I want my church to, you know, have impact. I want my organization
totally.
To yeah. transform territories. But I think sometimes there then it feeds into things of mm-hmm. independence.
Yes.
And actually, what if God is saying, actually, your nation is going to have to learn to submit to another nation and learn from another mm-hmm. people and learn from mm-hmm. another culture and learn from another way of doing mm-hmm. things, because that's what he's asking right now, rather than always the first, the great.
I was on an international Zoom the other day which is my way. You kind of start with the British people in the morning because that's the time zone we live in. Yeah. Or you're very early in the morning here if we're talking to Asia, and we're very late at night if we're talking to the Americas. We kind of work with the moving the time zone, sun, yeah. don't we? But I was on an international call a day this week, and somebody was talking to me about a church that you and I had been in together. I've not even told you about this. You're hearing live on podcast land. And we had prophesied some remarkable things. And I was trying to pull back to memory some of the things you and I had prophesied. It was a while ago. And the person on the Zoom call said to me and the pastor, she's had a sexual moral failure. And we kind of wept a bit together. And there was the sense of distress because we had loved them and enjoyed our time with them. And we brought a ministry team. My daughter was on the trip with you and I. And we were doing the usual lost luggage that we do. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes. So all of that stuff's going on. The usual ministry trip and eating late at night because you've not eaten before ministry. So, but I was reminiscing on what had been a beautiful, beautiful time and some amazing words, because actually quite genuinely, they were a standout people. They were a standout people. And that's unusual to go to a place where they are a standout people. Sexual failure, same old, same old. We all have a story like this. And the question is, what do we do with the prophetic words? And to my absolute heartbreak, I had to say, all invalidated.
Yeah, revoked.
They're all revoked because the conditions were not met. And the sense of, can we find somebody else? Well, no, somebody else has got a different call and a different anointing and a different skill set and a different direction of leadership. And, you know, all of that sense of, yeah, but God, you said, yeah, but you didn't meet the conditions. And even if the words come, and they're rare, but on that occasion they were right, if the words come about greatness, you know, if you are given a word about you will lead a movement, you will spearhead, it will begin and cascade out from this place. God is opening a well that will gather many. If we give words like that, anybody gives you a word like that, you know that to hold that place, and because you will have breadth of appeal and you will be on it, within the, I suppose, the spotlight of man, you know you're going to be, go into a depth test to have a breadth reach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they failed. And how many do that? And sometimes I think, God, and my reflection on that particular situation just this week was, oh God, you know, did we, what was our portion that? What do you want me to pray in light of that, God? Because we did bring a word of greatness. And we put somebody into a spotlight. We put somebody into a test. And that is why on occasions, learn to jolly well dodge a prophetic word. Yeah. If you're not
prepared, don't invite a prophet.
If you're not prepared to do the depth
Come
test.
On. Don't invite a prophet if you don't want a test.
Oh, it's heartbreaking,
it is
Sam.
Heartbreaking.
My final thought, it's in my notes from a couple of months ago, but I've not actually spoken it. Sorry, I've just knocked my microphone off the table. Hang on. I'm going to hold it in my hand for the last 2 minutes. From the class behind the glass, you still hearing me? Sorry, podcast land. We've done hundreds of these. Welcome to the high level professional. Yes. When I grabbed my microphone in excitement, I'll hold it here. So let's talk about Smith Wigglesworth's word. Now, this is difficult for me to get the nuances right because I want to be exceptionally honoring. I am exceptionally honoring. And Smith Wigglesworth, the great giant of the faith here in England, whose ways and words went round the world, brought a word many years ago about a generation emerging that would be in the word and in the spirit. Now, we love that and we dined out on that, and it did actually an awful lot of good. Oh, Jesus, we want to be those who are word and spirit. Now, what has happened is, in my assessment, is that we have utilized what that word was supposed to do. It's been meat. We have chewed on it. And actually, it's done good.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's had its day of what it needed to achieve in the earth. The problem is we're back there. So now what we're saying, which I don't think Smith Wigglesworth said, but we're saying to that, are you balanced between word and spirit? And it's kind of this ugly sense of like, either you're a word person or you're a spirit person. And if you have the word, you don't have the spirit. Or if you have the spirit, you don't have the word. And now I'm screaming at that, going, what? Stop. This is not either or. It is certainly not about balance. Throw that out. It is about fullness. Because if I have the word, I have the spirit. If I have the spirit, I have the word, because the greatest work of the spirit is the word. And so this nonsense of find balance. I mean, now I'm exercise, Sam, once again, two podcasts in a row, I'm exercise. It's not about, do you have the word or do you have the spirit? They're the same thing. And so do you have fullness of the word and spirit, or fullness from the word of the spirit, or fullness from the spirit of the world? Can we stop saying that's a word church or that's a spirit church? Because if you're a word church, you're stunted. If you're a spirit church, you're stunted. It's the fullness of both. And that's a prime example of an international word that is holding us prisoners, where we're assessing each other by, are you balanced? I don't want to be balanced a day in my life.
Come on.
I want to be extremely full.
You see it. No, but seriously, and it's used as like a reprimanding, you need more of the word because you've got too much of the spirit.
Yes.
Or you've got too much of the word, you need more of the spirit. And there's this weird kind of assessment and measurement of people groups and church groups and ministries. Where are they on the sliding scale of word to spirit? You know, where can you plot them on that scale? And it messes the word and spirit that are fused, that are one, that should be full in our midst.
Filled to the fullness.
Filled to the fullness.
If I read my Bible, I'm baptized and full of the Spirit.
Come on.
If I'm full of the Spirit, I'm loving my Bible.
Yes.
So none of this, are you either or?
Yes.
And if you're either or, you're deformed spiritually.
Yes.
Seriously. My class behind the glass are now laughing because Ali McFarlane, our worship leader, has come in, which is always a joy to see her. And Ali, I'm sure we need you to sing a song about...
if you're one or the other, you're actually just deformed.
Ali can write a song about anything. On that joyous note, as we come to the end of today's set of podcasts, it's been lovely to have your company. We don't take it for granted that you lend us your ears, and I hope more, and that we transform your lives together with the power of the Word and the Spirit.
Yes.
Or the Word in the Spirit and the Spirit in the Word. And go again and look at some of the prophetic words and measure them slightly differently to this more nuanced place of, have I idolized the words, and were they a piece of nonsense in the first place because they were all about making me great rather than making me useful? Thank you. You're smiling at me again. We've been so opinionated today, haven't we, Sam?
We have.
Well, we love your company, and we will see you again for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.